so my dad goes out, and he's out there for a couple of minutes or so, and pretty soon he comes back in the house, and he sits down. And so my sister's looking at him because she don't say anything, you know. And so pretty soon, he hears a knock on the door. The guy came in, so my dad answered the door. And he asked, he said, "Is Julia home?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "You're welcome to come in now." Because he told my sister later on, he says, a gentleman would come to the door and ask for you. And instead of you going out when he honks, you know, my father, you know, I think European people that come from the old country like that, from Europe, were a little more strict. And we had to toe the mark, you know, with him. But he was a good father. I mean, he did his best. He could be, try to be somebody that he wasn't, but we respected him very much, very much. And my mother was very loving, though. She was shy too. Mother was shy. And Sundays, her day was on Sunday afternoon. She would gather at, this was Mrs. Kokoki's dry goods store on the corner of Spruce and Niedring House. And a group of women would meet there. In the winter, they would sit inside in the dry goods store. She had chairs in there, and they'd all sit in there and talk, you know, and just companions. And then in the summer, they'd sit outside on the corner. You see all these groups of women. Excuse me, but I could see my mother didn't do much talking. She listened. And I had never heard my mother say a mean thing about anybody, talk about anybody or anything. So she just listened, you know, and that. And she used to also, Mom read in Hungarian, and which I can't do. And she would go to this woman's house, and two women would be there, and they would have books, like a pamphlet type thing, but they were stories in Hungarian. And Mom, once a week, would read to them the stories. And then they would furnish, this woman would furnish refreshments, you know. And Mom would take me with her. And sometimes she'd be there a little bit later than I wanted to be, or I couldn't stay awake. But I can remember being there, and if her daughter knew this, I think sometime next time I see her, I'll have to tell her sometime. But they had this, they had a nice home, and it was, they had the buffet in the dining room, and she had this three-layered cake in there. I could see this with three different pink, green, and white color, three layers, you know, and iced, you know. And I was thinking to myself while Mom's reading, boys, are we going to get this tonight, you know, for dessert, you know. And we did. I mean, she was very nice about it. But, and Mom sewed for people. She made aprons, or she did mending for them. And when she got sick, she had kidney stones, she got real sick, and she lost her job. And of course, my dad, after she got sick, he didn't want her to go back to work. I think at that time he had finally got started to work again. And she didn't even get her vacation time from the stamping works from Nesco there. And that, she was there 15 years, and she was entitled to a week or two of vacation, and she didn't get it. So it was kind of, you know, you had the good and the bad about it. But a lot of the women from Lincoln Place worked there at the stamping works. They really did, and it was hard. Her hands got real rough, the palms of her hands, and I knew she was tired and that. But anyway, it was a good time. It was a good time. Being the youngest, I didn't really realize the bad situations as much as they did. And it's a big difference between our ages. And then they talk about, my sister used to talk about my mother when they lived on Pacific Avenue. It was a duplex, and my aunt and uncle and their two boys lived on one side. To this day, I don't know how many rooms were in that duplex. And we lived on the other side. And my mother, my sister said my mother every day before my dad got home from work, she would give them a bath and dress them up in their little white dresses. And they used to have to sit on this bench on the side of the house and wait for my dad to come home. And she said they did that. Mom did that every day. So I can imagine how hard, you know, you're scrubbing these clothes on a washboard. And that, and she had a hard time. My mother was very pretty. But you can tell after she had the babies, you can tell the difference, what it had done, her, you know, her aging and that. She looked altogether different. It wouldn't even look like my mother. And but she had it hard. And I guess most people down there did. We had a lot of friends. We had one family across the street from us, their dad, he had a radio. And in the summer, he liked baseball. And I guess he thought the whole neighborhood did because he would play his radio. He did it as a good thing. He wanted other people to be able to hear the games on the radio. He'd play it real loud. And we were good friends with them. In fact, my sister, my younger sister, was very good friends with their daughter. And she's the one that they asked to go with them to pick up these fishing poles. So anyway, that's why I say I wish she was here. There's so many things she could tell you about Lincoln Place and about the people and that. But there were good times. They were good times. I'm not sorry that I lived down there and experienced all of that, because I feel like I had a good good life down there. I missed out on a lot of things because I always thought my dad would not let me do these things that I wanted to do, even though I worked at the depot. A lot of the girls were going during the wartime for the USOs. They were going to Scottsfield, I believe, just to go dancing. And they had chaperones. And I wouldn't even ask my dad if it was all right to go. That's the kind of person he was. We was always thinking. We always thought the negative things instead of the positives about him. He probably would have questioned it a lot if I did go. But yeah, the other girls down there, they all got to go. And I didn't. I wanted to stay after school at high school. I was the only one that went. I wanted to quit one year when I was 16. One of my girlfriends, she quit school and went to work at the stamping works in the payroll department. And we were still running around together. And she asked me, she said something about, wouldn't you rather go to work, you know, and that. And I got to thinking, boy, you know, we could use that. And I wanted to quit, and my father wouldn't let me. So I thank him for that. I thank him for that. Because I was the only one, you know. And I had a good job with the government. I put in 30 years with them. And so I have good, very good memories, and some not so good, but not bad, you know. Just things that I wanted to do and I didn't do because I thought my dad wouldn't let me. And he probably would have. I don't know. We just had never asked him. And so anyway, that's most of my life down there. And if I could just... I've talked with other people my age and say that, you know, if we could do it over, that we wouldn't change. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we could make things better, you know, and not have to do without. I can remember, like I said, not having the electricity and just using two rooms when you got three because you couldn't heat them. But the people down there were very friendly. They were all real nice to us. They liked my mother. My dad, I don't know, I don't think they thought too much sometimes about my dad, but he liked to give people the impression that he had more than what he had, you know, and that. But like I say, he was good to us. And but people, when they wanted something, they'd come and ask him to do things, you know, ask him to do things. And the club, the Hungarian home down there, when he wasn't working, he took care of it for a while as a bartender, and took care of that down there. And it was just, I wouldn't mind living some of it over the better part, and maybe I change things a little bit. But anyway, it was good. It was really good.
With Lincoln Place now, what are some of the changes that you've noticed?
Well, run down. The depot's gone. It did well while they were here because they brought the money in, you know, and that. And people have moved out. Families, well, like myself and my sisters, we got married, we moved out. The young people didn't stay. They all moved somewhere else, maybe out of town. But they got out of Lincoln Place. They stayed for a while, even after they got married. But then they eventually moved out because you were having a different class of people moving in. And businesses were not good. They were closing. The older people were, you know, passing away, and you just didn't have it anymore. And it just changed. It's not the clean. Most people kept their homes up real nice. They all had their gardens and their flowers, and they took care of their homes down there. And it was all just different. It's a different generation. Let's just say that. It's a different generation. The homes are not taken care of, and of course they're old. They're old, and what can you do? You know, they are old. I have a nephew that still lives down there. I have a cousin that lives there, and they pretty well take care of their homes. But you're getting neighbors that not the ethnic group that you had before, because the children have moved, mm-hmm. and some of them are out of town. They've married and just left, you know. And that's what I notice the most. I mean, it's getting run down.
What would you like to see happen? Are there any changes that you'd like to see take place in that neighborhood?
Really, not anymore. Just like anywhere else, I mean, if people would take care of the homes. We don't have the Hungarian home anymore. Mm-hmm. That was one thing I failed to mention. The Hungarian people didn't stick together as well as the Bulgarians and the Armenians. The Armenians, they still gather together. And with the Hungarians, it was always like someone was wanting to do something more than what the other one was. I don't know how to describe that. But they just didn't agree, didn't get along as well. And after the younger people were growing up, and they wanted this opportunity probably to have the parents turn over this Hungarian home to the younger people, well, you know, younger people were going to change it. You know, that's another generation. They didn't want the same things. They wanted something different. And so then the older people would say, well, no, you can't do that. So it just faded. People weren't coming anymore. We weren't having the dances. The building was getting run down. They didn't have that many members anymore. And I was there Sunday. My youngest son gave his wife they had a surprise party at birthday bar her. And so I was there, and I went upstairs because we were in the lower part. We were and I went upstairs and I looked around, and I thought, oh my gosh. It was turned over. We couldn't sell it. We couldn't make a profit on the building. When you have an organization, any type of organization, I understand that you cannot sell it because who would get the money? Mm-hmm. So they turned it over, the Mexican people from down there, they have their club, and they bought it. And, well, they got it for a dollar. And so they have it. And they used to have dances and things down there, but the building is old. And I think it was built in 1918. It's old. And they've made changes. They took the stage out. They took the stage out that was upstairs. And we used to also have plays there, and that was the stage. And my young sister used to be in the play. She was a funny one. And she was in the plays, these Hungarian plays. And it was so good. It was just so good. We had a Hungarian school there. We learned to read and write as much as we possibly could. And we'd have a program after that. But we had a man that came from Europe, and he had a radio station for a while in Hungarian. We have Hungarian music. But, I noticed even now the Germans have a radio station. The Polish people have a radio station. They play their music, their ethnic music, and they have their picnics and that. There's nothing with the Hungarians. When they gave them the building, you might as well say they gave it, there was only a handful of people yet that belonged to it. They would meet on a Sunday down there and kind of have meetings and stuff. I really don't know what went on. They had some beautiful pictures on lined the walls upstairs where the dance hall was. And I don't know what happened to those pictures. I'd love to have one. But I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if the last few members got rid of them, if they threw them away, if somebody took them, if got them. I've talked to some Mexican people. They don't remember whatever happened. They said if they were there, they got thrown away because they didn't want them. They were Hungarian soldiers. And really pretty, big, beautiful frames and everything. And I said, I'd love to have one. But we don't know what happened to them. And we had all sorts of dishes and silverware for the weddings and whatever doings was down there, because they had a lot of weddings down there. And I don't know what happened to them. They took the Mexicans got rid of the stage, and I went upstairs and they were having a meeting Sunday when I was there. And I kind of looked around a little bit, but it's not the same. They've changed things downstairs and it's just not the same. And if we could have kept it, if the young people would have stayed with it. But then you intermingle too. You're not always marrying in the same nationality. I did marry a Hungarian guy, and it was nice, but it just didn't always happen. It just happened to be that way for me. And my sisters did too, all but one, married Hungarians. And there's not that many out there. Even my children, they can't speak a word of Hungarian. They wouldn't even know what I'm sorry about that. I wish that they could mingle with Hungarian people, the dances, the picnics, the fun we had, so that they would know what my background was like. And we have, I don't, but a Hungarian church in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
It's just across the Poplar Street Bridge, down in that area. And my oldest son, he goes over and buys things from there. And I have been there. It's a beautiful church. And they have doings there once in a while, but I've never been there at that time. And I'm not real good about, it's in an area, it's hard for me to figure out how to get down in there and how to get out. But I would like to go. I've been there a couple of times because they serve lunches. And we've been on a group on a bus tour to see the church. And they have their pastries there. I don't think they taste as good as my mother's did, or my sister's. But I don't know. It would be nice, but there's no like my children. They don't know anything about it. And even if I could do anything, or if I could go back or whatever and have the Hungarian home and have it like it was before, that'll never happen. I mean, those would be good changes, to where I could be with the same class of people I was with then. But it's not going to happen. It just can't. Look at the music and everything you have today. I mean, I don't know what kind of music you like, but you're young as my kids are, But everything's different. Mm-hmm. Everything's different. Now we have, they don't even have, the Mexicans don't even use it for their dances down there now. They have their dances somewhere else. So it's, the ethnic people aren't down there. It just isn't. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what you can change it to. The depot is sold. I mean, it's no longer the depot. And the port has taken it over, which is good. It's still going to be there, which is good. But there's not the business down there. They've got taverns down there. The homes are all, they're just not in good shape anymore. And the people that do move in now are just, just there to, because they can get a home cheaper down there. Everything, you know, doesn't cost as much. Excuse me. But anyway, that's about it. I miss it. I really do. When you get older, you reminisce a lot. Everybody does. I've heard that. Well, I do. I do that a lot. I think about it and the fun we had and the people that I knew down there. And it's different. And I'm glad I was born in the generation that I was born in. I'm pleased about that. I think we had it better than young people have it today. It's harder. Everybody has to work. Everything's different. And I'm sure that, like I said, Mr. Pettish, he'll be talking to someone. I don't know. I hope he does, because he can tell you so much more than I could have. I didn't even know this, that there was a Hungarian band down there, and they all wore their uniforms, and he has a picture of that. And I didn't even know that they had this. And there's just so much that he remembers from down there. Of course, he was a kind of a wild one, you know. I don't mean wild, but I mean he knew everything, you know, down there. But I had my wedding, and there I had about 300 people there, and I have pictures of that. I'll show you of how many people, you know, the type of people was there, and the kind of, it's a Hungarian wedding. And when we got married, my oldest sister got married, her husband was in the service, her boyfriend at the time was in the service. He was coming home on a 2-week leave, and my father got together everything they needed for this big wedding. And back then, friends of the family would do all the cooking, the baking, and they'd all get together, and the ladies just seemed to have such a good time. I have pictures of cooks that did everything at my wedding. And my sister and my father had to go out, which you have to realize it was wartime, so there's a lot of things you couldn't get. But she had a big wedding in 2 weeks' time.
Wow.
Yes. And I had a big wedding, and we had food that we had. I was still living down there when I got married, and we had fried chicken. We had chicken and dumplings. We had sausage. We had stuffed cabbage. We had every kind of cookie you could imagine. Layer cakes. Just everything. I had a bridal dance, which the Hungarians did. You had a bridal dance. You dance with bride. It cost you $1, and that was to give the young couple a start on whatever, getting their home or whatever, you know, their start in life. And I had the bridal dance, and oh my goodness, my hair is a mess. It's flying in all directions from the dancing. And it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun. And everybody comes. They didn't go to the church. Back then, you didn't go to church to see the wedding. It was just almost just the family and the bridesmaids, you know, and that. But everybody came to the wedding. Everybody came to the wedding. And one thing I can remember before I got married, when you had a wedding, the best man and the best man and I think the groom would go, and that's how they would do their inviting. They would go to all these families that were being invited to the wedding, and they would take like a fifth of whiskey with them, you know, and invite the family to the wedding personally. And whereas like when I got married, it was invitations that went out. And that was a lot of fun. I could remember a young couple that was getting married, and then the next the day after the wedding, well, there were no honeymoons then, and the day after the wedding, while they were in their little apartment, whatever it had, you had all these people would come, and they'd gather around and they'd start singing out at the door, waking them up in the morning, you know. And I mean, they were fun things. they were fun things, and it didn't cost that much, you know. And it was fun things.
Sound mm-hmm. like you had a marvelous life.
I did. I can honestly say I did. The only thing I do miss is being so doggone shy that I didn't go out and do the things. When I listened to a sister-in-law of mine and this lady that we're very close friends, we're almost like sisters, and when I listened to her with things that she did, I thought, oh my gosh, you had so much fun. I was too quiet. I'm having more fun now in my old age than I had as a young person. And that's not right, you know. And I felt like I missed a lot as far as that is, you know, concerned. And but again, I don't want to blame my dad, because I don't think he never, like I said, he wasn't mean to us. But I think I was afraid to even ask him if it's okay to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just didn't. And I don't know. I can remember sitting around the kitchen table eating, and it was almost like everything was real quiet. You didn't talk, you know. But we always had gum. I don't know where. We always managed to get our gum. You never threw your gum away. You never threw that piece of gum away that you had in your mouth. When you sat down to eat, you took that piece of gum out of your mouth and you put it under the table. And believe me, that then you could get it. But if you didn't have any gum, this is a horrible thing to say, but if you didn't have any gum, you could always look under the table and see if one of your sisters left a piece of gum under there. And you took that piece of gum off the table and did that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. sometimes you could look around the whole table and you could see where, you know, a piece of gum had been. You look at all these big round tables now. My mom had one, you know, and that's where the gum went. And Dad used to cut my hair, and he clipped my ear one time. Yes, and but he did. He cut my hair all the time, and he did. He accidentally clipped my earlobe, and oh, your earlobe bleeds something terrible when it's punctured. And he felt so bad about that. He really did. But that was okay. We had all the childhood diseases, I guess, that came along. And you know, when you had measles or mumps or anything, they put this big red sign on your door. It was quarantined. And I had measles. I had mumps on the one side, never on the other side, just on one side. But that's all the diseases I had. And I can remember when I had the measles, I was very sick. I was running a high temperature. And it was winter. And that's when we had to close off the one room. And my dad, and I slept with my mom and dad at night because it was cold. And we had feather beds, what we call feather beds. They were like comforts, but they were feathers, duck feathers. And these, instead of your comforts, have got, even today, though, I think they do have them,
mm-hmm.
downs,
right,
down comforts, uh-huh. But we had the feather beds. And of course, we had a outhouse. Never had a bathroom back then. That's another funny thing. We took a bath in the kitchen behind the kitchen stove, and you'd put a rope up there and you'd hang the sheet over so nobody could see you, you know. Well, my younger sister, she was in there taking. Of course, then you always just took another bucket. You had a bucket on top of the stove for your hot water, because we didn't have hot running water.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd the next person to take a bath, you just dump another bucket of water in this tub, you know, for the next person. And she was taking her bath, and who's coming to the house? The insurance man. We had John Hancock, and I think he only charged like a nickel, I think, so you had to pay like a nickel or a dime or whatever for, mm-hmm. you know. So here he's coming, and he's walking, of course, to the end of the house, and he comes into the kitchen. Well, she's in the kitchen. She's behind the stove taking a bath. And my other sister, somebody let him in, and he's sitting at the table. Well, she's back there, and she don't want to move, but she stood up, and she burned her bottom against the stove pipe on that stove. She had a burn about this. Oh yeah, and she couldn't holler. I don't know how she held it. I can remember her burning herself really bad. And you didn't go to the doctor back then. And if you were really sick, the doctor came to your house. Mm-hmm. You know, but we didn't see the doctor or the dentist. If we had a bad toothache, it's when we saw a dentist. It was very seldom then. So, I mean, we didn't anyway. And I'm sure a lot of other people that were that way. But when I think back about that, it had to be her, the funny one of the family, you know, to get burnt like that. Mm-hmm. anyway, we had fun. I'm not unhappy that I grew up where I did. I like it, and I think a lot about it, and I'm proud of it. I talked to a Mexican girl not too long ago. I didn't realize we lived on the same street for a while, because, we grew up, you know, and I didn't recognize her. But she says, I'm proud of where I grew up. She said, living in Lincoln Place, we had more than the kids in town had, just by having the clubhouse. And we can, God bless the man that saw to it that we had it. Mm-hmm. And Miss Brather, she caught you biting your fingernails, man, she'd smack your hands for you, and if you misbehaved, you couldn't come to the clubhouse for a few days. And she was just like a, I guess, another mother. But it was good. It was good. I was too young to, things got better as I got older, so I was too young to have bad things bother me. I didn't know whether we were having it good or we weren't. Because most people were going through the same thing we were that lived down there. And you learned, we had a baker down there, Chris. He would do our baking for us in the summer. You can take a roast there or whatever you had, and he'd put in his oven for you. And he might charge you a nickel if it was a family he thought couldn't, but he just wouldn't charge you anything. And he would bake your make your roast for you. Or your cakes if you took them. And I've seen Armenians, I can remember this one girl going there with a big tray like this, and she had some sort of cakes on this pan, not a tray, but a pan, baking pan to be baked, and she took that in, and they were cakes, they were about this big. It just looked like the dough was just twisted around there. It looked so good. And she was real nice family. And we did a bread for a nickel a loaf. And my youngest sister worked there for a while with him, and she'd come home and he'd give her bread. And if my mother would go get bread, he would make her the little loaves to give us girls at home. So everybody down there was just, they were good to each other. We had a candy store down there on the corner that sold the candy and the ice cream. Of course, we got it for a nickel, you know, you got, I don't know how many pieces of candy. I think people today, kids, miss so much. I think I had it better. The times, financially, no, but the memories and the things that we did, we had the places to go as we go older too, to go dancing. Kids don't have that. They have nowhere to go, especially here in Granite. They don't have anywhere to go. They hang out on the fast foods or on the parking lots, shopping centers. There's nowhere to go. So we were fortunate. Our playground was fantastic. I don't see parks or anything that had what we had at the club and the playground. I can't even, I couldn't even tell you what they called them. We had things there that, gosh, and we could go any time of the day, anytime, and play there. Our parents knew where we were. Mm-hmm. And we played on the street corners, under the street lights, and we'd be out there until they blew the whistle, like 9 o'clock, time to go home. And everybody did. And you didn't hear any tremendous grumbling. I think the kids had fun. Mm-hmm. like I say, when you don't have anything, you make do with what you got. I used to make dressers and that out of matchboxes. I took a big matchbox. In fact, I have an old one, just a box. And you take that big one and you have the little matchboxes and make drawers out there, you know. Like you used your imagination
mm-hmm.
a lot. I look at my grandchildren today, you know. There's just too much. There's just too much. My children had a lot, too. They really did, and that's because we didn't have it.
Right.
That's because we didn't have it.
Right.
But I don't know. It's just, they had clubs down there, even after everything, some of the fellas down there that were born and raised there, they formed a club. And they'd have their get-togethers once a year. You'd get down there. I was still too shy to even. I thought, no, they don't really care whether I come down there or not. I mean, that was just me, you know, because I see so many people from them, and they're so happy to see me. You know, like I saw two yesterday. You know, one was here from out of town, and she was in my class, and it was just so good to see her. You know, and. You're always happy to see all these people. And I was kind of disappointed that I didn't see more at the first meeting we had regarding this project.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I can't, I had another aunt that lived down there. She was German. She was married to my mother's brother. My father came from a family of, how many children were there? Maybe 7 or 8. My mother only had a brother here and a brother in Europe. When they came over, her mother and dad and brothers came, but they didn't stay. They went back to Europe. But one brother did stay, so she just had. And my aunt, she worked at the clubhouse for a while, and her daughter was born and raised down there, and she could remember a lot of things with her mother working there, too. And she wasn't there. I don't know whether they had called to let her know that this was going on. And I've seen other people I've talked to, and they said, oh, they didn't know anything about it. They would love to have come.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably could tell more stories than I could, or remember more than I could. But
I can tell you, I really appreciate your time that you've taken to.
Well, I hope it was interesting. I mean, I think you would have gotten more. I'm my sister, it'll be 2 years next month that she's gone, but she could have, she could have told you. She was funny. And she had fun. And I guess the others did too. My oldest sister and myself were more or less alike. And she was shy too, but she laughed all the time. She was a happy person. She was shy in that. So, but other than that, I can't really think of anything else other than I loved it down there. I did. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't, because I have some feelings that aren't as good as, you know, others, but I have more better memories growing up down there. Mm-hmm. I used to be a little bit envious to say the kids that, like you said, you know, like the wrong side of the tracks we were on, all ethnic people. And that's just like Madison, Illinois. They had a lot of ethnic people there, mm-hmm. too. And we used to have this, what they call Little Six. And where the mill is, where a lot of the homes were torn down, they were bought out. And they were all ethnic people.
Mm-hmm.
And but they were good times.
Well, thank you very much for this interview.
I was a little bit concerned, a little bit worried. I don't know if I've told you what anything you could use or what, but I'd like to show you some pictures and some things before you leave. And just to let you see what my family looked like.
I would love that.
And I'm proud of them. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.